I've not been here for a while. I feel like they banned me. I'm kidding. My circumstances changed a little bit, so I was unable to get away from our church on Sundays, and God said, I kind of like you going to Shipshawana, so let's change circumstances again, and here we are. I brought my fan club again, as usual. Somebody's got to enjoy the sermon, so I figure if my family doesn't. I just want to say thank you again for the mothers. Mother's Day is one of the most important birthdays, but most important holidays behind my wife's birthday. That's pretty important, too. So, for the mothers in here, we appreciate you. We thank you. My mother is here, so we appreciate you and my wife's as well. And sticking with the Mother's Day theme here, I wanted to look at a way that God could teach us through his scriptures in looking at a mother. So obviously what I was led to is probably the most important mother ever, Mary, right? We can all agree that she's probably the most important. And what I began to look at is what did Mary teach us? So I looked into the scriptures and I found out how many times Mary actually speaks in the Bible. So what I'm going to do today is go through each one of those 286 times. I'm kidding. Four. That's it. Did you guys know that? Four times Mary speaks in scripture. I was stunned by that because she's such a prominent figure in our scripture, in our gospels, in the life of Jesus. And there's only four times that she speaks through the scriptures. So I figure those four times has got to teach us something, right? So we're going to look at each one of those four times that she speaks. And we're going to kind of dive in a little bit to what she's teaching us through those words and through those interactions. The first time she speaks, we all probably know, it's probably the most popular time. It's a part of this little story they call the Christmas story. So the angel Gabriel comes to Mary and begins to tell her that she's going to be pregnant. I have that same technology, Joe. So I did learn, though, I have to turn my lock screen off because I'll get going and then look down and it'll be a black screen. I have nothing to read. So it's a pointer for next time. If we begin to look at Luke 1, starting in 26, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary's first words, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail. Mary's response to this, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Now, when we look at that interaction with Gabriel, what we begin to see right off the bat is that Mary had a relationship with God. She knew who God was. And when this angel appeared and tells her this ridiculous story that as a virgin she's going to be pregnant, she didn't run away. She didn't yell at him and tell him he was crazy. She just simply asked, how will that be? How many times in our lives does God approach us? Does he need something from us? And we run away. Or we tell him he's crazy. I'm real good at telling God he's crazy. About 20 years ago, God began to place on my heart, probably more than 20 years ago, that someday I was going to preach, that he needed me to preach his word. And I told him he was crazy, and I continued to do so for another 20 years. And when I look back on that experience and on the fact that I ran from what he was asking me to do, unlike Mary, the difference was Mary had solidified her relationship with God. And I think that's the lesson in this first interaction, this first time Mary speaks, is when we strengthen our relationship to a point where God can approach us and tell us something or ask us something, no matter how crazy we think it is, we trust him. Her words are of trust, right? How will this be? She just wanted a little information. How's that going to happen? And then she said, I am your servant. I hope your will comes true. And in our lives, it's about our relationship. We have to create trust in God. Because when he walks up to a guy and he says, I need you to be a preacher someday. I need you to speak my messages over congregations. When my relationship wasn't there, when it wasn't strong enough, I didn't trust what he said. I ran from what he said. I ignored what he said. And then as my relationship strengthened, as I became closer to him, I began to realize that indeed I could do what he needed me to do. Not because I was good looking and could stand up in front of everybody, but because I trusted in what he had to say. And that's exactly what Mary teaches us here. She's able to question the reality of God's request. How is that going to happen? I'm a virgin. But it's that questioning that gets the information that she needs. Sometimes it takes us to question what God's asking so that we understand it. And we do not feel comfortable questioning him if we don't have a good relationship with him. So as Mary did, when God approaches you, no matter how crazy it sounds, lean into it. Understand that he's not asking to see if you can accomplish it. He's asking because he knows you will. And that trust that we have in him helps us to begin to live a life listening to to God instead of trying to tell him how it needs to go. The second time Mary speaks is actually the very next verse. Starting in 39, she goes to see Elizabeth. So Elizabeth, who is now also pregnant at an older age, who shouldn't have been pregnant, and now Mary, who will be pregnant as a virgin, she goes to talk to her. And starting actually in 41, Luke 1, 41, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." Before I even get into what Mary actually says, she's already teaching us. Her faith, her trust in God is already impacting Elizabeth. She didn't even have to open her mouth yet. She walked into the room and Elizabeth was overwhelmed with joy. Her baby in her womb reacted to Mary being there. Can't we do the same? Can't we walk into a room of people and impact them with our faith? If your answer is no, it's the wrong answer. Go the other way. It's yes. We can. We always can. Mary did. Before she even speaks, she's already impacting the people in that room. 46 begins what Mary responds. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." Didn't we just sing that song? The name of Jesus. "His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." In this, Mary begins to talk about some of the traits of God. Merciful, mighty, against the proud, for the humble, caring for those that hunger, not just food, but in him. And he's a promise keeper. But the more important lesson that Mary's teaching us here is not who God is, but how she's receiving his message. In the first scripture, we talked about her relationship and a level of trust that allowed her to accept what God was telling her. In this one, she's teaching us about humility. She received the word from God that she's carrying Jesus' baby, and in the very next time she talks, she's talking about how humble and blessed she is. She's not talking about how awesome she is that God chose her. She's not talking about how amazing she is. It all comes back to how amazing her God is. She received that message with such humility. And again, we look back at things in our lives. When we receive the message, when we're chosen by God to do something, are we doing it in humility? Or are we doing it to shine our light? Because the human nature is always to shine our own light, right? It's a battle that we always have to fight. It feels good to shine our own light. But it feels better to do what we're supposed to do and shine that light on God. That's where we learn from Mary. We begin to be humble in our carrying out of his plans. When Mary acts out humbly, when she takes that message in humility, she takes the power of God, and anything that he's asking us to do, we receive the power of God. And she takes it, and she becomes the mother of Jesus. When I became a pastor, it became very easy to think the opposite of humility sometimes. I'm in the front of the room. Everybody's looking at me, which is not a great feeling. You guys should smile every now and then. But when I learned to do it with humility, when I understood that I am so blessed that God chose me to stand right here and talk to you, then the messages became more powerful and they began to touch people's hearts. It's not about being able to deliver the message. It's about delivering it in humility. And God takes that in anything that we do, and he begins to change lives. The third time Mary talks, it's in Luke 2, starting in verse 44. So in this situation, Mother of the Year Mary loses Jesus. He's about 12 years old, and they go to Nazareth to celebrate the Passover, like they do every year, right? Because they have a relationship with God. We've talked about Mary's relationship. It's still there. And Jesus is 12, and they travel. It's not just my small pack, right? It's not just me and my wife and kids. It's all their friends and family travel. So I can kind of see where they lost their kid. He slipped away into the temple because he wanted to learn, and he wanted to talk to those in the temple. Well, Mary and Joseph, in the Passover celebration, they begin to walk home, and they go for about a day. And then they realize Jesus wasn't with them. It took them a day to realize Jesus wasn't with them. He must have been a quiet kid. It's usually about 10 minutes in my house before I realize one of mine's not there. Look, he hung his head. He knew I was talking about him. So what they do is they turn around and they go back and they find him still in the temple 3 days later now. Raise your hand, or don't if you're a little embarrassed. I'll raise mine. I'm not embarrassed of anything. If you've ever lost your child, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour. Hopefully it wasn't 3 days. That's a little rough. That feeling you have. Right? It's a gut feeling. It's like, what could happen? What if? What if I never see? see them again. Can you see the agony that Mary's feeling? As she not only realizes it, but realizes she's got a day and a half to get back there. She couldn't pick up the cell phone and say, hey, he's over in the temple. Can somebody go secure him? It was a day and a half before they got back. Now, I don't remember ever losing any of my kids. I may have, I just don't remember it. But I did lose a dog once. And it wasn't my dog. It was mom's dog. But the feeling of losing that dog. It was a dog, right? I'm not talking about my kid, my son. I'm talking about just losing a dog. My parents went 30 years without a pet in the house. And one of my older sons convinced them to get a dog named Guido. Guido. So they get this dog, and immediately mom and dad attached to this dog. I think they loved him more than us kids, but that's normal. My wife loves her pug more than us. Matter of fact, I got to tell you, quick side note here. For her Mother's Day, I got her a blanket, and it's got the pug's face on it. And it says, Mom, I love the fact that we don't have to say out loud that I'm your favorite. That's how much my wife loves her dog. But when I lost their dog, the agony that I felt, not just for our family, because we loved the dog too, but for my parents who had become so attached to that dog. Imagine what Mary felt back, walking back. A day and a half. And she finally gets there. And Jesus is in the temple. And this is what comes out of her mouth. If I turn to the right page. When his parents say to him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty calm to me. After 3 days of losing your kid, and her response is, why have you done this to me? I think that Mary is already beginning to understand that Jesus is going to be great. He's going to do great things. And that allows her, when she gets back, instead of yelling and screaming like I did at the dog when we found him, she very calmly says, why did you do this to us? We were looking so hard for you. She begins to understand that Jesus is going to do more. More, way more than the average child. But the big lesson in this comes out when you look at verse 51. Jesus then went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. She lost her child for 3 days. And as excruciating and painful and scared as that is, she treasured those moments in her heart. What kind of things do we go through in our lives in which we can still treasure them? It's not things we want to treasure. Loss of family, sickness, loss of jobs, all of those things that begin to take away our hope. And yet, because we know, just like Mary had already begun to know who Jesus was going to be, we have the luxury of knowing already what Jesus did. We understand the cross. And when we go through these things that should tear us apart, that should bring us to our knees, we can still cherish those moments. We can still count them as blessings. We can still hold them in our hearts, like Mary did. The last time she speaks is in the Gospel of John. And in this situation, Jesus is older. It actually says, the scripture tells us, that Jesus is there at the wedding with his disciples. So you can imagine the time frame here. At the wedding, they run out of wine. To me, that's no big deal. They shouldn't have been drinking that much wine anyway. But Mary understands that to the family, that's a huge deal. If you throw this wedding and you run out of wine, it's a shame on the family. She understands that, right? Mary didn't care if they had more wine to drink. She cared about the family. And as the wine runs out, she looks at Jesus. We're in John 2, verse 3. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." Jesus' response, "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." So not only did Mary instigate the first miracle that we see out of Jesus, right? The water into wine. She does it because she cares for the family. But the most important thing that she teaches us, and in modern days here, they use the term mic drop. Does everybody know what that means, the mic drop? Well, this was Mary's mic drop. Because her last words that we can read in Scripture, "Do whatever he tells you." She's done. She doesn't speak again. Let me rephrase that. She spoke again. It just didn't make it into Scripture. The fourth time Mary talks, she's pointing everything to Jesus. Do whatever he tells you to do. And she's experienced this, right? She's the one that we first started talking about that received the message from God about having a baby. And she did whatever God told her to do. That's us. That's what we have to do in our lives when God approaches, when Jesus is in our ear telling us what to do. It's very simple. It's not that simple. Sometimes it's hard, but it's still the same outcome when we do what he tells us to do. And that's the last time that Mary speaks. I think the biggest lesson that Mary teaches us is it's not the only time. She didn't speak four times, right? We all understand that. She was probably talking all the time. She probably approached Jesus thousands, hundreds of thousands of times in her life and had conversations with him, not only in raising him to be a good man, but in learning from him so that she could be a good Christian. All of those times she spoke with him didn't make it into Scripture. because there was nobody there recording it, when she was sitting face to face with Jesus talking. What we say to Jesus will never make it into Scripture. But the lesson that Mary shows us is to continuously be face to face with Jesus, talking, listening, reacting. And then always remember her last words that she spoke in Scripture. Do what he tells you to do. You guys will bow your heads. Lord, as we look at your mother and the lessons that we see from her in your Scriptures, Lord, I just ask upon those here today that you show us the way to deepen our relationship with you, to deepen it to a point of trust, so that we trust everything that you tell us, no matter how crazy it may sound. Lord, and when we begin to trust it and we begin to act out on it, let us act out in humility. Not because it gives us power to do what you're asking us to do, but because it gives us power to shine the light upon you, not upon us. Lord, as we think about the time that you were lost and the reaction of Mary, help us be able to appreciate the moments in our life, the blessings that don't look like blessings. And Lord, we just ask in every opportunity that we come to from here on out, in the words of Mary, we do what you ask us to do. And that alone, Lord, will begin to bless us and bless those around us as we begin to impact more and more through your lead. In your holy name we pray, amen. You are dismissed. I feel like we're at school. You're dismissed.